311.
Good day to you. Welcome to the 311 radio show here on VOB 92.9 FM, where we hear from the Barbados Fire Service, Barbados Fire Service news, tips, fire prevention tips, life safety tips, and so, so much more. I am Krista J. Paul, and with us from the Barbados Fire Service today, we have Senior Fire and Life Safety Officer Natasha Ford. Good morning. Hi. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon to each and every one of you. Good afternoon, Krista J. How are you?
I am well. How are you doing?
I'm fantastic, thank you. Good. After the week I've just had last week, I think I'm feeling on top of the world.
Wow. Well, you'll have to tell me about that. Maybe off air, I don't know.
It's all fine. I can share it on air.
Well, there you go. So, go ahead.
Yes, as part of Barbados Fire Service News, you know how we do it. One of the things I can tell you is that for the last 2 weeks going on, we've had a number of persons doing the inspectorate, fire service inspectorate or fire service inspector course. And a part of that course will be members from my unit as well. So my babies are graduating.
Aww. This week.
Yeah, absolutely proud of that.
Yes, of course.
But what it also means in terms of the fire service is that we now have more persons added to the inspectorate. We have more persons who can go out there and assist us in maintaining that we establish what the codes are, we uphold the codes. If there are any infringements, if there are any breaches of the act, that these persons can point persons in the correct way to go. Persons listen for a lot of punitive redress, and that is not what we are about. You know, we have to work with the public. It's about trying to bring across a cultural change, educating people, and that's why you would hear us going over the same thing over, because it is education. You don't stand up in a classroom and say something to a child once and they automatically get it.
Yeah.
Although sometimes I find that children are faster learners than adults. But that is a whole another topic for a whole another day, and they want to stay on top of my bubble. So we have about 10 persons at this point in time, but of course there are supposed to be more courses going forward, and of course we'll be turning out, it'll be a continuous something at this point, from this point on, I should say. But honestly speaking, I am feeling upbeat to see that, you know what, we're taking it seriously. We're going about training other people within the department to the standard. I remember there is a certain standard that we're looking for. We don't do things nilly-willy. Everybody must be singing from the same hymn book. We find out sometimes that one person says something, another person says something else, and it comes to cause a bit of confusion. So, again, because these ones are being exposed to a lot more things than, say, the ones who would have done it like 5 years ago or 6 years ago, information is just like how technology is always changing. Information is always being updated. And in order for us to stay relevant, we must continue to educate ourselves. We can't wait for people to do it for us. You have to continue to educate yourself. Read something every day about your job, what it is that you do. At the end of the day, you're supposed to be the subject matter. I can't tell you how to come and do broadcasting. That is your subject matter. You're the expert. I would sit back, I would do a little thing, ting, and play the fool. But at the end of the day, it is people like you, it is people like Biggs that don't make me sound like a chipmunk when the sun does come.
Thanks. That's an inside joke, right?
Yeah. So, you know, I think when we recognize the tremendous responsibility that we have on our shoulders, especially out there to the general public, we recognize it's not, as I keep saying to you and I keep saying to persons, being a fire officer, it's not just about the salary, believe you me.
No, because
if I was just thinking about the salary, I will always look grumpy. It has to be a love for it.
Yeah.
It has to be a calling. And at the end of this day, these officers are giving of themselves.
Yes, yes. So what is involved in being an inspector within the Barbados Fire Service?
was involved. So first, as I said, you have to do extensive training. And we go through so many things. You have to know the legislation. Obviously, you have to know what acts guide you. So when you go there, people are doing what things that are contrary to what we would like them to do. You have to be able to show, you know what, well, within the Shaw's Act, this is what it's supposed to be. Within the Buildings Act, or this is what you're supposed to be looking at. So they would go through different components. They would go through the acts. They go through the standards that are expected. They go through things like hazmat. They do other hazmat. You have fire behavior. You have things like water-based fire suppression systems, extinguishers. What else? I mean, there's so many different things. It is a whole complete... It is a comprehensive course. It is not just a little piece here, a little piece there. At the end of it, to ensure that these persons are definitely compliant, there are exams. So it's not just you sit down in the classroom and you can rock back in a chair and put in your phone. You have to show that you get it. You have to show that you understand. And we don't just turn you out like that and say, well, no, you're going to do it. At the end of it all, then you're assigned to one of the inspectors, one who would have been doing it. So it's like body system. So you are now coming off, you have to be matched with someone, and that person will go through the routine with you. They would let you go on the inspections, they will let you take lead to see how you perform, the things that you look at, the recommendations that you make in terms of even filling out reports if there are any if there are any breaches of the act or whatever the case. Chrissy J is a whole lot.
Wow, that's amazing. But what? Listen, all you needed to tell me was they have to know the acts. And I said, okay, that's your calling.
But they can't just say they need to more than that. They need to know building construction as well. They need to understand how different materials work in different places. They need to know, you know what? Isn't every extinguisher that you can recommend for this particular occupancy? They have to understand the hazards.
So what are some
I would
like
to put you inside the classroom so you see.
Yeah, sure. I wouldn't mind that. So what then are some of the, because you know when people hear inspector, they think of a police inspector. So what are some of the situations or places that a fire service inspector would inspect?
We think in terms of inspectors, yes, you have the police inspectors, and then you have the environmental health inspectors. Everyone has their role.
Right.
And when it comes to the ones who go in to make sure, when it comes to fire safety or fire prevention methods, that things are in place there, that once persons are within the occupancy, once they're at work, that they have a safe means of, if something should happen, they have a safe means of egress, because we look at things such as means of escape, which is your egress. Are they adequate enough? There are no blockage of the exits. Do you have, do you have a system in place, an audible and visual system that in case there is an alarm trip or something is happening, that persons within the vicinity know what is going on inside there? So is it a case that you have chemicals on location? Where are the chemicals stored? Are they being stored correctly? Right. Is the oxygen the right place? Do you have it? Do you have flammables and combustibles mixed together? As I said, there's so many things. Is it a case that, again, the emergency exits, and you would hear me talking about this constantly, is it a case that you have the emergency exits and you have them locked off? All of this goes into it. Is there a case now? We have persons who try to take the shortcut, and instead of investing in a UPS on a surge protector, you will find that they're going by the multi-strip outlets, which offer no protection. So basically, you're just overloading. So all of these are things that we have to be mindful of. We have to go in, the chemicals that you have on location, if anything should happen within that occupancy, who does it pose threat to? And the thing is, we have to try to mitigate, put things in place that it is going to be as minimal or nothing. There's nothing. In the case that we don't have it, that we can absolutely get rid of it, we have to find ways to mitigate it from occurring. So sometimes you find you will go, you see something, you have to come back, you have to do your research. It is not just a case that sometimes everything happens on location, even in terms of the buildings. Know that we're doing a lot more high-rise buildings and such, like we need to ask for this building to be sprinkled again based on the hazard that's within there. Yes. So no, extinguishers are not going to work for here. We need to have this building sprinkled. We need to have a sprinkler system within here.
Right. Okay. Wow. That's
intense.
I have
to have enough of this job.
That's intense. So does the Barbados Fire, do the Barbados Fire Service inspectors work along with other, with inspectors from other entities, the health inspector, for instance, or any other?
Funny enough, yes, we do a lot of interdepartment connections. We have a lot of, you will find that some cases I would go out, or we would go out, you would find you have the environmental department there, you have persons from the environmental health department, you have EPD, the environmental protection department, you have the inspectors from the polyclinics and such, like the health authorities, you would find Barbados Water Authority. So yeah, sometimes it's an interagency collaboration.
Very good, very good. So how long is this course for one in the fire service to become an inspector?
All right, so basically right now these guys and ladies would have been
all ladies
for the last, would have been called, yes, and ladies. Please, you think you can kill me with all the work? Come on, at the end of the day, the females, you're in the fire service. We have to be relevant. We're just as good.
Absolutely.
As I said, it's about
I was just wondering if it was all ladies.
Exactly.
That's what.
Right. Into the women.
Yes, sorry.
Yeah,
I
at the
you.
End of the day, the course is approximately... And as I was saying, this is full time. So they're doing it. They're doing nothing else. They have been pulled from active duty and they're just focusing on this. Wow. So we've already, this 2 weeks, we've already completed 2 weeks. And I think by the end of this week, Thursday, Friday, we say that this week is also a short week. They should be complete.
Wonderful.
They
well,
should
congratulations.
Be
congratulations. But maybe next program or two from now, we can hear from a few of them, you know, how the course was for them and what they had to go through, etc., and how it differs from the active duty. How does it differ from the active duty? I mean, there's so much, there are so many elements to the Barbados Fire Service. We've been doing this July, it's 3 years and
four years.
And I'm still learning. And I'm still learning, you know. We're all still learning about the Barbados Fire Service. And you know, the
I don't think we still touch all.
I realize. So that is really something. So it really differs from active duty, as you say, to outing fires and so on. You know, it's a different mindset. How would you have dealt with the transition? How do people deal with the transition from active duty, going out in the field and having that adrenaline pump to out the fires, to going to inspect buildings and making sure they're up to code, etc.?
Well, the funny thing about it is, or well, I should say the funny thing, the thing about it is that you would find that most people on starting a course, a new course, there's always this hesitation because you don't know what to expect.
Right.
And I think like anybody else, that would have definitely been the case. Like everything else, you know, we become so accustomed to our regular duties that when you were asked to do something else, that it seems out of the box for us, or like, but what do you mean? I got other people that could do it, or
right.
Whatever.
So
but then
the
when
change.
You sit inside the classroom, you work on it. Exactly. When you sit inside the classroom, then and you're introduced to the stuff, and you recognize, because it's not like they're on two different realms. at the end of the day, when you go out there and you ensure that these places are inspected, that they're up to code, and you've put everything in place that you can to mitigate these circumstances, it then means that those persons working in operation, that you should see a lessening of fires.
Yes.
That you should not have that amount of fires that you were having before. It means if that we still continue to do that, that there's something wrong with the way that we're doing things, that we need to relook the way that we're doing things. So I think then in recognizing that person's, the mindset starts to change. You know what? Yes. All right. Learning has taken place. So if I do this on this hand, it lessens the impact of something else on the other hand. So I would, for me, the transition, it is not a case that we have persons who are just inspectors and that is all that they do. At the end of the day, they're fire officers, so they're cross-trained in everything. You will find the ones that go there on the truck who are operations, some of them are inspectors. Okay. So when they go there, they now have a different view, a different lens to look through. They have another way of seeing things. So it's not just a case like, all right, we're going out here, there's a fire, and you just put, you try to extinguish that fire. It's a whole different culture change. It's a whole different mindset. And the transitions for some people, I would say, it can come easier than some persons would, like anybody else. Some persons would probably just prefer to deal with operations side of it. It all depends on your personality as well. Sure. For me, I like mingling with people. I like mixing with people. That's true. Let me retake that part again. I like people. Telling people how to be safe, keeping people safe. Mm-hmm. So I would find that that mixes with my personality. I don't have a problem going out there talking to people. Some people consider me to be an extrovert. But then you have some persons who are introverted and they tend to pull away, or they will shy away from dealing with people. They would prefer to do the operations side. But at the end of it, because the department is so small, I think that is why we're so dynamic. That's why we're so competent. That's why we're so skilled, because we have to be cross-trained in a whole set of different things, the different activities, different skills, different. Yes. It's all about, I don't know how to put it.
Well-rounded. Definitely. Yeah, and you know, these days, even in organizations that have had to scale down, you know, you find people playing two and three roles, and they have to learn more, and you have to do more, and you have to manage your time better, and so forth. So it's really a learning process. So we wish all those new inspectors the best.
I think you can actually call the Barbados Fire Service a college.
You know what?
That's how I agree. It's a college.
I agree.
You're always learning something.
Yeah, I agree.
You're always learning something new. So although we have the academy up there, as you would know, who's responsible for the training, the external training, the internal training, at the end of the day, they do a fantastic job making sure that the officers are rounded. And again, it's for those who apply themselves, those who want to go forward. They just grab it and they go.
Yes, that's good. That's good. Well, I look forward to hearing from them sooner than later. And you know, all they
of course, the anybody you want me to pick on? You want me to pick on Sobers? You want me to pick on Jason? You want me to pick?
So they went through it though as well.
Yes.
Okay.
That's why I'm proud of my babies, Morton. Yes.
Oh, very good.
Charles, who would have been on with. Yeah.
Very good. Well done. Well done. Yeah, I look forward to hearing from them. How it was for them. All right. Now, I know that you also wanted to talk about another topic that is a bit of a pet peeve, as you would call it. And it's a pet peeve of yours, a pet peeve of mine as well. And you want to just really discourage people from having their children, especially the young ones, the young children, standing in between the passenger and the driver's seat. So I'm going to let you be able to talk about that now.
I don't know how many different ways you can say it. I mean, on Friday morning, going to work, once again, driving behind a vehicle. And I mean, I'm saying Friday, but this is almost an everyday occurrence, yes. Krista J. Yes. And I mean, if I'm seeing it, I know other people out there are seeing it as well. And I think it's really important for us. I'm going to work on it to the best of my ability to have someone from the Royal Barbados Police Force to come to the program and address such matters, because sometimes I need to know. I am sitting in my car so mad. Like, if you're stuck in traffic, wanting to go up to the person's vehicle and knock, your seatbelt is on, driver's seatbelt is on. Why is it that this most fragile person inside this vehicle is unrestrained?
Yes.
And don't tell me because the child don't like the car seat or the child don't like the seatbelt and is be crying and this and the next and the third. As a mother, and this is Child's Month, we just celebrated Mother's Day and everything. Now, I'm talking to those mothers out there. You would have known what pain you would have gone through if you had a smooth 9 months. Well, I congratulate you, honestly speaking. But to carry a child to term, or even in some cases, you know, some mothers, they don't go to full term. Some of these children, they're born premature. And we're crying our eyes out and we are looking at these children and all when they come home. And we promise when we carry them to get christened. We promise before God and man that we will do everything in our power to protect these children. And at the end of the day, when you still leave your child inside a car like that, how is that protecting your child? How do you feel sitting in the front seat, a seatbelt on, and your child is standing in between there? Now, I've said it once and I'll say it again. If you are traveling at 60 miles per hour, everything inside that vehicle is traveling at 60 miles per hour. It means that if you have to come to a sudden abrupt stop, and that is you hit something or you just mash brakes or whatever the case is, everything inside that car becomes a missile. So if you have your bag on the back seat, you know your bag tends to hit into the to your seat.
Right.
You can feel the impact sometimes. So think about a child. And we've had a couple incidents where children were hurt like that. Children would have lost their life like that.
Yes.
And I would think, you know what? We're a society that something only matters for 2 weeks. Mm. And I make no apology.
If we have short-term memory.
Exactly, 2 weeks. 2 weeks, and then it is water underneath the bridge. It doesn't exist anymore. We go back to our normal culture like it never took place. Why do these children have to pay the price for our ignorance? And ignorance not in terms of the normal way that persons would use it, but not, we claim we don't know. And I can't see it anymore. I can't see, too many times we've seen it. We've seen people holding their head. We've seen mothers holding their stomach, crying for their children. You have your child's life in your hands. You've promised to do everything to protect that child. I need to know what can I do when I see things like this? I should be able to call and give a police the number, the car or something. You know what? Go warn these people.
Yes, I agree.
Yes, we do have the seatbelt law out there. We talk about cell phones. We talk about persons ready with helmets. But I think at the end of the day, if we're talking about protecting our children, it's not only from sexual abuse. We also have to protect our children in matters like these. At the end of the day, they don't know any better. We're the ones who are supposed to have the knowledge base. Right. We're the ones who are supposed to be trying to protect them. Mm-hmm. Now, if the child has to cry, I prefer my child to be crying and know something happened. And at the end of the day, I can get out and I can walk away with you. I can shush you. I can soothe you. And you would stop crying.
That's right. And you know what?
But don't use that as for the child on like
we can't afford to let our children's tears manipulate us though. Because it is a case of, in this case, it is literally a case of life and death. Life and death. There have been cases where the children ram through the windscreen.
Yes.
Okay. With their heads, instant death on the spot. And this is a this I hate to say. Just as you say, I would love. Sometimes I would feel like I would just blow them and say, "Let the child sit down in the seat, buckled up. It doesn't matter if they don't like it. Well, okay, fine. You don't want to hear the tears, to see the tears and hear the bawling. Find some way to have them seated securely in the back. Maybe it's the car seat belt on their neck or something. But whatever it is, find a way to make it happen. Because sorry cannot bring back a life. And
give
you know,
them a snack.
Exactly. Something to keep something to, that's correct.
You have to be creative as a parent. You have to find ways. I'm sure you would have gone through it with your daughter.
Right.
I would have gone through it with my own. And thank God, at the end of the day, you know what? They're still here.
Yes.
Even she knows, from the time she gets in the car now, her seatbelt is on before mine. You have to teach children. Yes. You have to be example. Yeah. And that's why I keep saying sometimes, you know what? That's why maybe statement earlier, sometimes our children learn better than we do. Children learn faster than adults. You would have to come and ram the same information over and over with an adult. That's sometimes right. You just have to tell a child once or twice, and from the time that they get it, then you realize how they become the police. Because mm-hmm. Sometimes, like, if you're going on, I'm busy talking to her and I wouldn't catch myself. Mommy, you don't have on your seatbelt. All right, cool. Pull across and we go.
Yes.
I'm not saying sometimes you're doing the absolute money, but when you teach a child stands for more than one thing, we're not only talking biblical. At the end of the day, we're talking about, I mean, morale. I think that is why our society is losing so much, because we're not being that force. We're not being that social force for our children. They learn from us first.
Yes,
stop allowing other people.
That's correct. And then if you have your child traveling with somebody, please ensure that that person will have your child strapped in the seat securely and not take it for granted that they're going to do that. Okay, that's definitely something we need to remember as well. Now, believe it or not,
that's a fact, because there's something. You're serious?
Yes. Yes, we've come to the end.
I need you to start speeding at the time, Krista J.
Oh my word, the time flies so quickly.
I learned
a lot today, and I'm thankful that we had this chat. And I know that our listeners would be thankful as well, as I learned something else about the Barbados Fire Service that I don't believe we have touched in the past 4 years almost since
we've been having this
program. So that's good. Now, is there anything else that you want to wrap up in about 1 minute?
Again, what one of the things that we know recently, one of the our suppliers who does recycling, that they were on pause from accepting certain material. And what I'm going to make now is an appeal to the public. Stop what you're doing. Those persons know who they are. Now, we know that the place is on pause, on temporary pause. We have persons out there who are taking their garbage and just going and putting on the outside. And that is a no-no. So next week, I will cover more of that. We'll go further into details, but I just wanted to say now in the early to those persons who are thinking about doing that, those persons who have been doing it, to desist and stop the practice.
Yes.
Stop it.
Yeah, that's not good. Yes, we can definitely delve more. I'm looking forward to that, to hearing more about that. So thank you very much, Senior Fire and Life Safety Officer Natasha Ford, for sharing with us today. Your wealth of knowledge, some of your wealth of knowledge.
Thank you very much.
Yes. And remember, if you missed any of today's edition, you can always log on to VOB929.com to view the podcast, to listen to the podcast, and you can see the video recording on the VOB92.9 FM's Facebook page right after this. So God bless and have a great week. And as we always say,
fire prevention is our intention.
All right. Thank you. God bless.
Protect your life and property. Call 311. Promote. depend on the Barbados Fire Service. 311.